Hello, my name is Jason Struble. I come from Washington State University up in the Palouse, and just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to go over my research this morning. And we'll give tribute to my main co-author, Harold Collins of USDA in Prosser, Washington, who has been on the forefront of a lot of the biochar research over the last few years. Our overall concept is kind of going the same way that you just heard, looking from dairy and using biochar to complete the circle in the cycle. But for us, our global goal is to be able to combine the technologies of anaerobic digestion and pyrolysis to reduce nutrient loss in soil and in prevent water contamination. For this study in particular, we really wanted to determine the feasibility of whether or not you could make batch scale biochar from anaerobically digested fiber. Wanted to see if the addition of biochar into the lagoons was an effective way of sequestering phosphorus. Also wanted to see the nutrient mineralization rates and whether or not that would become plant available, and try to in some ways figure out what nitrogen and chemical phosphorus forms there were inside this process, and then ultimately see if they're plant available. One of the reasons this is so important to us is because, as you heard, dairies make manure. Cows have a lot of it in the state of Washington. It is our second largest agricultural crop, and we are the pridefully the second most efficient milk producers in the United States. And where we are in Yakima and Benton County in particular, there's 95,000 dairy cows all within that county. And in the state of Washington, we can produce 1.5 million dry tons of manure a year. And that's a lot of poop. And so I deal with a lot of poop all the time, which means a lot of phosphorus, a lot of phosphorus in your soil. Phosphorus can go to your water, contamination. And after 30 years of dairying in the Yakima Valley, our soils are very high. Part of the process and part of the problem with the phosphorus is that it's not just coming from the manure, and it isn't just coming from farmers who are doing their own silage and forage growth on site, but they are literally bringing in phosphorus sources in their forages and their total mixed rations from all over the United States and Canada. One of the ways that some of our dairymen are trying to reduce their nutrients and find ways to work with their nutrient management so that they can be responsible environmentally is the use of anaerobic digestion. There's 5 anaerobic digesters in the state. One of them happens to be 20 miles from my research site and my home. In the process, what they basically do is they take the liquid manure, it's a flush dairy, and they bring that liquid manure into a chamber that's airtight. It runs in there for 21 days. Microbes eat the carbon sources. As a byproduct, they create methane gas. That methane gas is then piped into this room here, which houses 2 800 watt diesel generators, creates enough energy to work a 4,000 head dairy, and also they can sell it back to the grid. But then they also have an effluent stream that goes back into the traditional dairy lagoons, and because of tipping, which is they put all kinds of extra stuff sometimes inside the digesters, our nutrient loading out in the manure and the effluent can actually be higher than normal dairy effluent. Our dairy manure. We wanted to be able to take and see if we could use biochar in order to sequester those nutrients. Because this is a biochar symposium, most of us know what biochar is, but really it is a carbon-rich source that has been created when a biomass has been burned under low oxygen at low temperatures. And for us, we were using 500 degrees Celsius. Washington State University has a small batch-scale biochar production unit that is very analytical and very precise. In order to do the size of studies that we were looking for, we had to upscale, and we created our own retort, which is a process in itself, and we can talk about that at other times, but this is good science. It's all temperature ranged, but we found that what was coming out of WSU system and what was coming out of ours number-wise was very similar, and we were right within range, and we confirmed temperatures at 500 degrees. It stays in our batch unit for about 4 hours at that temperature. You can see our carbons for both our feedstocks and our digested fiber levels in there. So what we started to do in this whole process is to kind of set up some preliminary test to see whether or not this would work, and that the literature that was out there we could confirm. So we wanted to see what the change of phosphorus was in a pure solution and in our dairy effluent. Over a 48-hour cycle, we used some softwood pellets that were produced at Washington State University. And we took that char at 10 grams and 50 milliliters of our effluent coming out of our dairy, or we used 10 grams of char and a potassium phosphate standard. We then oscillated it continuously for 48 hours and then tested the change in phosphorus in the filtrate and also on the chars. This is a large slide, and I'm just going to tell you the basics of it is that these black numbers right here are our filtrate in our standards, and we did two different rates, and we were actually unable to absorb any of the standard onto our char. However, of any significance, but when we looked at the dairy effluent was reduced almost 100%. We then did some follow-up studies to make sure that it wasn't our methodology, and we got similar results. When you took the pellets and run them for sodium bicarbonate pea, the available pea in the system, we proved that we really were not picking up any of the phosphorus out of the standard solution, but we were picking up phosphorus out of the lagoons. That gave us, in our minds, permission to really go for the upscale. So what we did is we took the biochar that we created, and we went to the dairy and collected a lot of dairy manure coming out of the effluent, out of the digester. We did 738-liter digested lagoons, and we had 15 kilograms of our animal-processed fiber biochar with a standard pond setup where we had a filter that could house the 15 kilograms and a pond pump. This was an active system where we were continuously filtering manure through our biochar filter at a rate of 10 cycles per hour. And we sampled then on day 0, day 5, day 10, and 15. In order to do this, we had to take and a dump truck after dump truck to make the full system. But we took our digested fiber, we dried it down, and we did that out in the middle of Prosser, Washington, and I did it with a hand rake after three dump truck loads. We pelletized it at 30,000 pounds per square inch. We then pyrolysized it in our unit, and then we put that biochar into these housing filters that are right here. And then we went to the dairy, and we collected our effluent and put it into the lagoons and started sampling within 2 hours. And what we found is that here was day 0, coming right in out of the lagoon. It was our phosphorus levels. And within 15 days, we were able to effectively reduce our phosphorus levels in those lagoons by 68%. We also took a look at our nitrogen levels, and this was not part of my overall process, but we did look at it. And what we are finding is that we were able to reduce nitrogen, not as much as significantly as we were as a phosphorus, but at day 15, our nitrogen levels started to go back up. In our process, in our minds, we're thinking that is mostly due to the fact that we are literally going from an anaerobic system to an aerobic system, and that the whole nitrogen cycle and its bacteria after 15 days out in the sun are really starting to rev back up as we're going from mineralization, immobilization, and back. We also noticed that we were starting to see coatings on the outside of our char. So when we took our char and with those coatings and we ran that had been in the lagoons and we did some sodium bicarbonate extractions, we were significantly raising the phosphorus that was on that char over the 15-day period. We stalled out at about 5 to 10 here. At day 5 and 10 were similar, but by the end of day 15, there was substantial, again, increase on that phosphorus that was trapped in the char. What we figure is that you can see some of our coatings that are here. About 73% of the fiber was removed. Of that mass that we have in the char, there's about 5% is made up of those coatings, which is grass and other forages that you find in dairy manure that didn't get eaten by the microbes. And we know that mathematically we can account for 35% of the phosphorus removed in those coatings and in those chars. We then had the opportunity and wrote a competitive grant to get into Pacific Northwest Labs EMSL facility and run some tests of our chars on their nuclear magnetic spectrometry machine. We did it on their 500 megahertz machine, and we did 30,000 replicates for each one. And when we're looking at our different extraction methods, we used a traditional HCl extraction, a water extraction, and an NaOH EDTA extraction. And when we did that, we think that as we go through the process and looking at our pHs of our different extracts as they come out, that in the inorganic that we are capturing, that we are be able to specify that we have HPO4, H2PO4, and some phosphoric acid that's coming off into there. And in the NaOH EDTA extraction, what is used for NMR when you're looking at microbiology and you're looking at RNA and DNA, we are picking up in this spectrum right here what we believe to be some of the DNA and RNA, which makes sense because we were coming from a bacterial-rich environment in the anaerobic digester. We also, when you are looking at our numbers coming off, trying to quantify what was there, this graph right here is probably the best on the spectrum. The green here is that water extractable P on just the char coming in at about 2.5 milligrams per liter coming off of the NMR. And the coatings and the biochar that we're coating, we have approximately 25 milligrams per liter. So even on the spectrum, we're able to tell that yes, we are capturing plant available phosphorus coming out of those dairy lagoons. Then we got to play on the scanning electron microscope, and I did it for 8 hours, and it was really fun because I'm a nerd. But we had this here is our uncoated char, and here is our coated char, and you can see in this image how that coating and those fibers are really just stuck right to the char. And I've got plenty of other images that show nice little microscopic pieces of forage. It's kind of fun. Then we had the opportunity to really wanted to see whether or not it was available in the soil. What would it do? So we set up some soil incubations. We took 100 grams of Quincy sand at four different rates. Our rates were 11, 22, and 44 megagrams per hectare, or 0.4, 0.75, and 1.5%. Those rates were chosen because of some other experiments that we had been doing. Sampled in them on day 0, 7, 14 through 49. Water extractable and sodium bicarbonate. Looking at our water extractable, I got an email saying that I've got even more data that's come hot off the press. But when you looked at day 0, day 1, here was our control. This was just the biochar itself. So there is some available phosphorus on that biochar, which we saw coming off of the NMR data. But then also our 15-day coats, we had a substantial increase in that water extractable that was affecting the soil, water extractable P, even at day 1. And then we also see that same rise at day 7. So when we come to the ultimate conclusions of what we've, what we've been playing with and what we have really trying to get for this proof of concept is that we think that anaerobic digested biochar can effectively be used to reduce phosphorus in dairy lagoons. Coated biochar after filtration does contain available phosphorus. We were able to prove that both in the analytical methods and through the NMR. And it appears that the phosphorus is available to plants. And through that soil change in the phosphorus concentrations. And we know that we need to do further work to be done to really kind of characterize that, hone that down for the P and look at what it does for crop growth. I have finished up the greenhouse study, 3 experiments, 7 replicates, and we are still, statistics say that some parts of it are statistically valid, some of them there's no statistic difference. And so I'm looking on the root data right now, that's why we didn't include that data. And we also did some solid state NMR as well to try to pick up what phosphorus is contained in the iron, what is there in the calcium, and that's some of the data we're looking at now. A lot of people to thank, my committee, some who are here, Emsel, and our biochar technician. He's the best guy around. He does it all the time, and he is very consistent, which is important for us. And my dairy guys, because they're the ones who give me the poop. And, hey, mister, do you mind if I swim in your pond? Do you know what's in that lagoon? Yeah, water. The dog says, if the smell doesn't bother him, I say let him swim. So, any questions?
We have time for maybe one question.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is the water content of the Orina Pista to start with? Do you pelletize the...
We had to take it down to less than 8% in order for our pelletizer to be able to pelletize.